Welcome to Hey Ghost Hey, the podcast about ghosts, ghost hunting, and other paranormal phenomena of the Pacific Northwest. I am your host, Charles Crooks, owner, tour guide, and psychic of Bellingham Ghost Tours. We are here because I like ghosts a lot. Now let's begin. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Hey Ghost Hey. I hope you are having a great start to the holiday season. I cannot believe we are nearing the end of season two already. For my last two local investigations this year, I am focusing on two of my favorite locations here in town, not necessarily known for their ghosts. However, I find there is activity all around us, and it comes in different forms. So, for today's episode, we are focusing on Bellingham beloved icon, Whatcom Falls Park. As always, let's start with a brief history about the park itself. So this is coming from a PDF brochure created from Bellingham Parks and Recreation, available online. Starting in the 1890s, the Whatcom Falls area was known as the picnic ground, popular for biking, walking, and picnicking. When the private landowners planned to sell, Bellingham citizens wanted it purchased for a city park. Like other towns at the time, the city of Bellingham did not have funds for parks. Land purchases depended on local philanthropists, and volunteers provided maintenance. In 1908, the Young Men's Commercial Club raised funds to purchase the original 40 acres for $12,000, about half the value of the land. The city later reimbursed the club. During the 1920s, organizations like Whatcom Falls Park Club, Ladies Cooperative Society of Elizabeth Park, YMCC, and private individuals donated trails, plantings, play equipment, picnic shelters, and wooden bridges across the creek. The Great Depression of the 1930s brought federal money to purchase most of the park's current 241 acres. In 1936, federal, state, game commission, and Whatcom County Sportsmen's Association funds built the fish hatchery. Roosevelt's New Deal Works Progress Administration paid workers to move the Chuckanut sandstone arches from a downtown burned-out building to the park. In 1939, the sandstone was used to construct the landmark stone bridge. So, as far as my personal history with the park goes, I can't remember the very first time I went to the park, but I know it was when I was very young and one of my many times visiting my grandparents while we lived down south in Federal Way. So in that time, Bellingham was definitely a second home, as we were often up for holidays and other family events and celebrations. My family later moved out to the Cleveland suburbs, North Royalton to be exact. When I was in the 8th grade, my grandparents, still in Bellingham, moved into a new home that was in the lower entrance to Whatcom Falls Park. As a kid, this was of course a dream location because whenever we came to visit in the summer, we now had an enormous playground at our disposal. It was here that I first learned about the urban legends in Bayview Cemetery, like Angel Eyes and the Deathbed. I would spend hours walking around the graveyard, taking pictures of the graves in hopes I would catch something weird. And of course, I never did catch anything in those photos, unfortunately. What I did have happen, though, was a very early incident I had completely forgotten about until I started thinking about memories for this episode. It was during the summer when my family was visiting the Whatcom Falls house. My grandparents' house was two stories with the guest bedroom and the bathroom downstairs, while the main living quarters were all upstairs. There were two twin beds next to each other in the guest room. I was in one while my mom was sleeping in the other. I had already crawled into bed, and my mom was still getting ready in the bathroom. I was turned away from the doorway and my mom's bed. I heard her come in, get into her bed, and I continued to lie awake. All of a sudden, I felt a hand touch my shoulder and move down to my chest. I immediately flew up, expecting it to be my mom, but she was sound asleep, turned away from me. Even though I had never experienced anything like that, in the moment when it happened, it was more confusing than anything else. Had I fallen asleep? Was my mom playing a trick on me? Already tired at this point, I stopped trying to make sense of it and I fell asleep. I even remember asking my mom about it the next morning, but she had absolutely no idea what I was talking about and probably just thought I was making things up. It would be years later until I would have anything else happen within the park. I eventually ended up living at my grandparents' house and often walked into the park. Many times I would put on my headphones and mindlessly walk the paths as a stress release. So many times, primarily on the trails around the main falls and in between the trails that go around the Derby Pond, I would see lights zipping in the trees around me. It would always be in my periphery, as many times I would have to question if that's what I actually saw. Most of the time, the lights appeared as little orbs and would zip around quite quickly. Now, normally, I wouldn't necessarily consider something like that to be paranormal, just because I wear glasses and I've had issues with my eyes my entire life. So I think it would be more realistic to see things out of my peripherals than to immediately go with ghost. However, I did have another encounter that definitely made me think there was something to these orbs. Early one morning, I went down and found a quiet spot by the creek away from the main falls to meditate. The entire time I was there, it felt like there were energies all around me. And while I felt the presence of multiple beings, it didn't feel scary or like it was out to get me. It was as if I was just aware of something different than normal. Not good, not bad, just different. I've often found when we feel gratitude for the nature around us, nature has a way of responding back. For a quick moment, I visibly, with my eyes, saw a light orb that seemed to travel from the creek and move upwards until it just disappeared into the trees around me. It was very quick, but almost seemed to give confirmation that maybe something around me did hear me, and for that moment, it seemed like we had a mutual energetic awareness of each other. And to me, in that moment, it definitely felt like something with intelligence, or at least intention, was reaching out. So before I get into my investigation of the park, I would like to point out that I was not there to investigate any recent or modern day tragedy connected to the park. In my many times visiting my grandparents, we were taught to greatly respect the park and its dangers. Every single summer we were there, it was common to see ambulances drive by to aid someone from some injury or accident. So of course, most notably, I do want to acknowledge the tragic event that changed the park and its landscape for a very long time. On the afternoon of June 10th, 1999, a 16-inch gasoline pipeline owned by Olympic Pipeline Company ruptured beneath Whatcom Falls Park near Bellingham, Washington, spilling roughly 237,000 gallons of gasoline into the creeks running through the park. Over the next hour and a half, the fuel-laced water filled the tributaries in what should have been a tranquil forested park, turned into a toxic trap of vapors and spills. At approximately 5:02 p.m., the gasoline ignited. A massive fireball shot downstream, racing nearly 1.5 miles along Whatcom Creek, with flames and heat reaching temperatures of over 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. The fire destroyed large swaths of the surrounding forest, roughly 26 acres of trees and vegetation, including about 16 acres of mature second-growth forest within the park itself. In that instant, three young people, two 10-year-old boys, and an 18-year-old man lost their lives. Beyond the heartbreaking human losses, the explosion wrought catastrophic damage to wildlife and the natural ecosystem. Scientists documented the deaths of tens of thousands of fish, amphibians, and aquatic invertebrates, and concluded that all the aquatic life in a span of several miles of the creek were destroyed. The disaster didn't just scar the land. It shook the community, destroyed a water treatment plant near the creek, damaged nearby homes, and disrupted daily life. In the years since, there have been restoration efforts, contaminated soil was removed, thousands of trees replanted, and habitat restoration projects undertaken to help the creek and its surroundings recover. And so, it is my experience that we don't need tragedy to find energies left behind. It is always my hope that the souls involved in a horrible event get to move on, and I think if we do have any activity around where tragic events have happened, I think it makes greater sense that we would see residual energy echoes from that event. But I greatly doubt the spirits involved in the tragic events are doomed or stuck within those powerful moments. Can spirits get stuck from a tragedy? Yes. It is possible, I do believe, but I do not think it is very common. Okay, so onwards we go to investigating the park itself. So when it came time to investigate, I spent quite a bit of time here throughout different zones of the park, but I primarily focused on the main bridge and falls, the paths to the Derby Pond and around the Derby Pond itself, and the whirlpool area. At each spot, I recorded for EVPs, used the Ovilus in its speech and geoscope mode, and the ghost box. I did not get any EVPs, unfortunately, so we're continuing that trend for Season 2, sadly. But while using the Ovilus, the most interesting word that came through a few times was the word kite, like to go fly a kite, which was very appropriate for where we were. It's also not a word that I have come through often, or at least have not had come through often in other places. Since I've been using the geoscope feature recently on the device, I have often had hits most times I have used it. And so it has been happening so frequently, I have started to wonder if that is actually normal for the device, and maybe it wasn't actually picking up on anything. However, in using it at the bench near the main falls, I had zero hits with it. And I was actually very glad to have this happen, as it showed me that there are times to actually not have any hits. I have a really hard time trusting devices that have hits all the time, just because I do think we need that kind of baseline time of not having anything. And I often test out my devices in my home just because, as I've mentioned before, I like to keep my home very clean of different energies and like to keep my boundaries up there. So there have been many times where I've used the Ovilus, I've used the Ghost Box, used the Flux Responder, and have let those run for hours at a time in my home and have not had any hits at all. And so I almost find that reassuring to have the periods where you don't have anything, because then it definitely makes it seem like when it does have a hit, that it is actually picking up on something. So by having this this time of with the geoscope to not have anything come up, it kind of gave me reassurance to just kind of say, like, maybe it is picking up on things when we do see the spikes. When it comes to the energies in the park itself, I think it's easy to say because it's next to a cemetery, therefore, that must be the reason why it has activity. While that might contribute sometimes, I don't believe a lot of the energies in the park might actually even be human. The few times I have felt things around me, I've always had the sense that it's more of a nature spirit kind of energy. I also think that there's a lot of residual native energy around our nature ways, especially along the south side of Lake Whatcom. Even though I spent hours in the park, I would not say I had anything conclusive happen. The park very much seems to exhibit its energies when it wants, instead of doing so on command. And before we wrap up, I want to share two accounts from someone I met in my first year of doing the tours. I've often shared my interest in the haunted nature around us to people on the tours, and one day at the end, a woman came up and asked what I knew about Whatcom Falls. We got into a conversation about the area, and she ended up emailing her two accounts in the park. She has said I can share these as long as I keep her anonymous, so here we go, personal accounts from our anonymous park dog walker. Account number one. I had gotten home from work, and first thing I go to do is take my dog for a walk. I'm usually the first one home, so it's my time to unwind. I was walking along one of the main trails, and up ahead, I see what I think is a person standing just off the path. It looked like they were pacing back and forth a bit, looking at their phone. My dog paused to sniff around the bushes, and I kept watching the figure. It then started to get rounder and a bit fuzzier, like my eyes were going blurry. It turned into a black blob, lower to the ground, and quietly slipped into the trees. My dog was completely oblivious to what was going on down the path. I picked her up and started walking very quickly back towards home. I had no idea what I had seen. I was left with an uneasiness that lasted for the rest of the night. I still haven't told my husband or kids about it to this day. And then we also have a second account by her as well. The other weird thing happened probably a year later from the first incident. Same kind of routine, work, then the dog, then the park. I was on one of the trails near the railroad trestle heading towards the bridge over the creek before it loops around the Derby Pond. I was lost in thought, thinking about the things I had to do because family was coming into town. Out of nowhere, I hear someone say my name, clear as day, not yelling, more like someone standing right behind me, speaking in a normal voice. I turned around, expecting to see a friend or a neighbor, but no one. There was nobody. My dog stopped and stared off to the side of the trail, like she was looking right at the person. Ears up, tails wagging a little, just calmly focused on something, or at least nothing that I could see. I started to feel a little uneasy, but since my dog wasn't scared, she honestly acted like she saw someone she knew. I took a deep breath and kept going. If she had freaked out, I would have been out of there, but since she felt okay, I figured I didn't need to be scared either. I didn't know who or what said my name, but I know for sure I heard it with my ears. I, for one, am very glad that I have not experienced any sort of blobby shadow figure. But at the same time, you never know what might happen. And I really do feel with areas that are active with intelligence or active with awareness, that they often can show up in all sorts of different ways. And we don't necessarily see the same manifestations all the time. But I greatly thank our anonymous dog walker for sharing her encounters, as they are definitely interesting and I believe ones to be very true. So thank you very much for sharing those with us. So next time you're taking a little walk in the park, take a few moments and be open to what's around you or maybe who's around you. You never know what might want to make itself known to you. And so that is going to conclude this week's episode. Thank you so much for being here and being open. Next week's episode is going to focus on my favorite area of all of Bellingham, and that is Lake Whatcom. You can always find me on Instagram or TikTok at Bellingham Ghost Tours, or send an email directly at bellinghamghosttours@gmail.com. So until next time, stay spooky, my friends.